Hi there and welcome to the New Health Club podcast. Psychedelics are experiencing a renaissance these days, developing into a tool to help us go through life. But what are LSD, magic mushrooms, psilocybin, MDMA or ketamine are exactly doing for our mental health, personal progress or even optimization? Will they change our lifestyles and lives forever? I'm sure they will. On the New Health Club podcast, I talk to real innovators, leaders and disruptors from the emerging world of psychedelics. Enjoy. This podcast deals with drugs. Drugs are dangerous. Furthermore, the use and or trade of drugs can be punishable by law. Please keep this in mind. This podcast is not suitable for people under the age of 18. Hi everyone and welcome to the next New Health Club podcast. Today we talk psilocybin and tell you about synthesis. Synthesis offers legal, medically supervised and scientific-based psychedelic retreats in Amsterdam. I went there this weekend to do a ceremony with psilocybin and it was very interesting, very emotional and sometimes overwhelming, but really worth it. In this episode, my guest is synthesis co-founder Martijn Schoep. We talk about psilocybin, about the compound, what it does to you, what makes it special as a psychedelic, and why it can make you discover your purpose in life. And of course, why Brad Pitt may be a great spokesperson for the following years of microdosing possibilities. So enjoy the podcast, and now on to Martijn and synthesis. So we are here on a very stormy morning with Martijn Schoep.
Mm-hmm.
From synthesis. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to talk to you today.
Likewise.
Maybe you introduce yourself.
Yes, so my name is Martijn Schoep. I'm the co-founder of synthesis, which is a legal professional guided retreat here in the Netherlands, where we work with high doses of psilocybin, which is a psychedelic, to help people support their transformation and their healing.
And, of course, we did this also because, or we're doing the podcast also because I did a retreat over the weekend, which was very exciting. I'm not going to say really more about this because it's also very personal always what you take with you, mm-hmm. I feel. But what I can say is that I was very nervous coming here and I bought all kinds of nuts and bagels and weird stuff at the airport to distract myself. So, but then it was a very great experience. So how can you calm yourself down before you do it?
I think the first thing is to understand that being nervous is incredibly normal. It is normal response to being confronted with the unknown, but maybe with things that are challenging. And just relax. Don't feel like you have to do anything. Often what we teach is that the lesson or the insight is in the feeling that we have been avoiding. So if the anxiety actually is at a level that feels really uncomfortable, instead of trying to numb it or avoid it or distract yourself from it, actually sit with it and be really close to yourself, feeling the anxiety. And often that's where the first lessons already start to arise. Mm-hmm. We often say the retreat starts the moment you sign up, and that's when people get nervous and anticipate the unknown, which is difficult sometimes. Yeah.
So I know definitely, like, shopping is my distraction, obviously, from the feelings. So, and but I mean, like, obviously, this topic of using psychedelics in a way that you actually make it possible is really on the rise right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're talked about the Goop Show and many articles that people were writing already visiting synthesis. So why do you think now is the moment to really, that these things kind of develop very fast?
I think it's a combination between a strong need in society of individuals that are looking for the next thing to either heal or transform, and a significant rise in education, specifically around the scientific research that has come out. So there's a lot of amazing world-class science that shows it can help with things like addiction, depression, eating disorders, body dysmorphia, anxiety. And who hasn't suffered in their life from trauma or from habits that no longer serve them? You know, maybe we've developed them as a coping strategy at one point, maybe when we were young, maybe later in life, and now we want to change that. And there seems to be nothing that's more powerful or nothing that's more effective than psychedelics, if done right. And there aren't many places where you can go with the conditions to do it right. And so that was one of the main reasons for us to set up Synthesis.
And I mean, this seems to be like a very special situation here also in the Netherlands, that you can actually work in a certain frame with psychedelics.
Yeah, the psilocybin-containing truffles here in the Netherlands are fully regulated and fully legal. And so one of the very few Western countries in the world, we can actually create an organization and we can actually train people. We pay taxes, we have doctors on site, the team gets supervision. We do everything that I think a modern psychedelic clinic would do. But we also optimize outside of the medical model. So it's not just you take something and then, a few hours later, we hope you're cured. No, it's actually about the personal experience. It's about the subjective journey of learning that the insights come and people transform. And so we optimize that with the medical clinical standards that are best practices in the research, for example.
And why do you think, I mean, I feel like there's like this, also in my community, there is really an emerging kind of need for transformation in many areas of life or like perspectives. And why do you think like the classic tools, like doing excessively yoga, going to excessive psychotherapy, why doesn't that kind of work anymore these days?
I think it's a combination of a lot of people are under a lot of pressure. Like the speed of society has just gone up and there's less and less time to actually wind down and to take good care of ourselves. I think that's one part. Another part is that a lot of these techniques, they can work very deeply, but also under very specific conditions. And psychedelics are just a few degrees more powerful and more effective if done right. And yeah, it's a combination of education, research that has come out, that people are now starting to get open about it instead of the misinformation and the propaganda that we've gone after. They were banned in after the 60s. It's now a different lens through which we see these miraculous molecules that change the brain communication for a short period of time. People go on a journey and people rediscover the value of psychedelics because they've been used for thousands of years. Often they're at the center of community, of ritual, of healing, of like a group immune system. And
a group immune system.
Group immune system.
What is that?
It's basically where you have a group of people and they start pinging with each other in a certain setting that what is behavior that is desirable. And so often what you see in a retreat, for example, people are becoming way more open, way more compassionate. They share things about themselves that they maybe haven't shared to the people closest to them. And it's a relief to finally be vulnerable, to take off the mask and actually be accepted and accept others. And that's a very healthy group setting that's, sadly missing in a lot of more competitive, high-pressure, settings in day-to-day life for most people.
And you say, like, if psychedelics are done right, that's a really big topic, right? That this set and setting is the right thing. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so as you've noticed, like, the moment you take a psychedelic, it feels like the volume of reality goes up. You become extremely sensitive. And you need extra care to feel safe. Like a big part of the journey is to actually start surrendering into the uncomfortableness or the parts of our psyche that we haven't integrated, parts of our shadow, part of our trauma, part of maybe our potential. And if you are in a setting where you don't feel safe, or you are distracted, you can't really work through that material. And so to optimize for a specific outcome. So psychedelics are sometimes called non-specific amplifiers. They amplify a lot of things, and it's up to the guide and the set and setting and the structure of a program that it gets a certain factor into a direction that is desirable. And what we do is aim for transformation, positive transformation, well-being, health, self-acceptance, creativity, like elements that we often don't take time to really cultivate in our day-to-day life.
And what I find interesting, especially with psilocybin, is what I also read before about it, but what you also can read in a couple of books that you guys have here, is that it's often also related to an idea of finding a purpose, like, or your purpose. And I mean, in the experience, which is, I'm not going to talk about, of course, but I mean, still, what I find interesting, I got like a mixture of a purpose in a, I'm not going to say career, but in like my purpose in life, but also my purpose in a private, more personal surrounding. So, I mean, and what I find interesting also with synthesis that you kind of work on specialized retreats that are specifically addressing, for example, the female leadership question, or probably you still working already on other specific topics. So, I mean, do you think this will be in the future like a tool, I mean, well, future, maybe next year, a tool to really access these specific parts in your life much faster and then kind of tailor-made it for some people or for some groups like leaders or, I don't know, other people?
Yeah, we're thinking about creating other leadership type of retreats. And I think you hit the nail on the head about purpose. Like what psychedelics do very uniquely is something that in research they call meaning making. And a universe without meaning is devoid of purpose. And the only thing that remains is then the baseline of suffering. So you have suffering on one hand, and the thing that balances that out, that redeems the struggle of life, is meaning, is purpose. And somehow psychedelic uniquely help us get really close to ourselves and discover the things that actually matter the most without all the conditioning, all the things we feel like we should be doing. It's actually can be a very clear vision of like, wow, this is what I want. This is what I find important. And so you can apply that lens to a lot of different domains of human existence. And I think a core one is actually leadership. So how do you step up? How do you take control of your life, of your destiny, and create that what's deeply meaningful for you in your own personal life? And that role has really amplified by my own personal psychedelic use. Like I realized what I was capable of and what I had to do to actually create a significant meaning. And yeah, without psychedelics, I would have not, well, obviously I would not create a synthesis, but I don't think I would have had a job or a purpose in my life that I felt so strongly connected to.
I certainly got my business plan in the in the trip or in the experience. And the funny thing is, or the interesting thing I often find is that these things that come to you in that experience are often things that already kind of have lined up in your life, mm-hmm. or that are not like completely alien to you. Mm-hmm. So, and then you just have to, through the experience, you can connect dots that you couldn't connect before.
Yeah.
Either in like a private question or like, mm-hmm. I mean, in the, yeah, like you, what you described before you obviously founded Synthesis, but maybe you talk about how the process turned out a little bit and how you found your co-founder, mm-hmm. and how this all happened after your insight.
Yeah, it like about 2 years ago, it became clear that there was a rising demand and a rising need to actually go on retreat, to actually be able to drop all the baggage of day-to-day life, especially around professionals that were living a very, very driven life, but didn't necessarily have the time or the space to reflect on which direction they were going. And so we started with a pilot retreat about a year and a half ago, April 2018, And we had about three retreats back to back, 8 people per retreat, and it was really amazing to see the transformation on such a large scale. And so we started to improve the model, do more retreats, and at one point it became clear that somebody had to run this side project of ours, and so I quit my previous job. And
What did you do?
I was the CEO of High Existence, which is a is a media company where I actually wrote and interviewed people on about psychedelics, about transformation, about philosophy. And so it was a very natural fit. Mm-hmm. And since then we raised significant seed money, and we got this beautiful venue, and we started hiring our first psychologists and therapists. The first test was, can we do this safely, and does it actually provide the outcome that people are looking for? And the answer was a resounding yes, and there was a strong need to offer a modern model. Since then we've grown to 40 people full time, and growing ever since. The demand has increased significantly with all the media and the research that's coming out, and there's no, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon, because there's a huge mental health epidemic. People are looking for deeper connection, other ways of living their lives, and I think psychedelics are a very unique tool that can really help us remember what it is to be human and what is important for us.
And what is your, let's say, vision with Synthesis? I mean, obviously right now this is the country where you can do it that mm-hmm. way. But I mean, if you read a couple of articles that are on LinkedIn, basically like in this whole psychedelic community, I mean, it could be that like the decriminalization could happen in other mm-hmm. countries, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, maybe in
right.
Europe.
Yeah.
In America, of course, too.
Yeah, we're definitely planning on opening different centers all over the world, depending on legal jurisdiction and different modalities. What we found, the model here that we've developed, works really well, and it's likely that it's applicable to other substances, other cultures as well. And so we hope to start opening a different center in this year. Whether that's US or another one in the Netherlands, we're still figuring out. But yeah, there are many, many things we want to do. We developed a very in-depth, rigorous health screener, mm-hmm. Which I think is at this time one of the most advanced in this space. And it's something we want to make access. We want to create access to other groups as well, so people can raise their medical standards up to our level. we want to start training therapists and other facilitators, because there are some programs for example, you have the California Institute of Integral Studies. Mm-hmm. They train therapists to become psychedelic facilitators. But there's a major lack, which is the facilitators don't get personal experience or hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the traditionally in shamanism, that's the only training. There's some teachings and some cosmology and the way to prepare a ritual, etc. But it's the personal experience, like how deep have you traveled yourself? Because if you want to be a guide, you need to help people to traverse those types of transpersonal experiences. And without any personal experience, that our belief is that you won't be able to fully do that. Do depth that's mm-hmm. Really honoring the full range of psychedelic experiences. So we wanna provide that, that people can come to the Netherlands and have self experience, have experience with other people on a psychedelic, and that will inform the theoretical knowledge. I don't think you can have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few of the plans that we have going on.
And if somebody's really interested in this, but kind of what I hear a lot is that people say, well, I mean, I never did any kind of drug. And mm-hmm. for some reason, also because I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in the long run, a lot of people are really getting interested in this, at least if they hit, let's say, kind of a very big roadblock in their life, or they mm-hmm. have experience that they cannot kind of tackle with like the classic therapy or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, going to yoga every day, suddenly it's like, okay, I'm not making any progress with this. So how would you suggest like to get yourself open-minded for this maybe?
Mm-hmm. I'd suggest to begin with education. Read books, read the research. You'll quickly find it's incredibly safe. There are only a few people that should never do it, and then there is a group of people that should find therapy first and have a good social support network. But beyond that, it's incredibly risk-free. And if you've tried a lot of things and you've hit a roadblock, then psychedelics could help you potentially. And it's up to you to decide. And so educate yourself, find a place that has rigorous health screening. So you make sure it's the right time for you. You don't have any medications that make it risky. You have the support and network and integration, which is one of the biggest elements of having a successful psychedelic journey, is how do you bring this experience back home, and how do you integrate it into your mm-hmm. day-to-day life? Because the unpacking of it is where the magic actually happens.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you're just addressing, because I feel that's also another thing that a lot of people fear. That they have insights that either they are so extreme or so drastic that they would not mm-hmm. know how to integrate it, like you say. And then that's what I heard a couple of times with people just going somewhere and doing ayahuasca mm-hmm. without any kind of integration afterwards. Yeah. And then they're kind of very confused for the next years what that meant to them, what they've seen.
Ayahuasca specifically, I think, is very hard to integrate for most people, because it is it's a very powerful psychedelic to begin with. And then it's often done in a cosmology that's very alien to our day-to-day lives. And in traditional ayahuasca settings, the integration was part of being a tribe or a culture.
Yeah,
the integration happens the day after when you work on the land, or you weave the hammocks, or you go hunting. You tell the stories. It fits the cosmology to a T, and that's it's already fully integrated in their day to day lives, in their culture, in their rights. But as an outsider, you come in with a very different belief structures, with a very different expectation model of what a teacher or a guide should be, and then there's no integration. You come back home, and then you have to bring those two experiences together. It's possible, but it's very difficult, because often you feel like you have to give up significant elements of your personal life, and for most people that doesn't work, and I don't think that's necessarily needed. And that's one of the reasons why we built Synthesis, because that bridge is way more easily traversable. It does happen where people, you know, they were atheists, and then they suddenly lose all sense of self. They dissolve with the source of all life and become one with the divine loving presence of the source of all consciousness. And it's so overwhelming that it undermines or challenges a lot of ontological belief structures that they have. And that can be challenging. Or what's also not uncommon is people realize that the people around them were not the people who they thought they were. Memories come up, traumatic memories that they didn't even know they had. It explains a lot of behavior, but then the work starts. And often what we do is recommend psychedelic-friendly therapists that understand the transpersonal nature of these experiences. And then the unpacking starts, and that can take time, but that's part of the healing, and that's part of the integration. In the end, you're better off than never having done it.
Well, I mean, that also means like what you mean also, like you see things about your family that you kind of didn't realize before, like mm-hmm. the relation to one part of your family, or like that was completely hidden from you, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much so much unconscious.
Yeah.
There's way more unconscious stuff than conscious.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I had this moment where I kept asking the person in my journey, like, but where are my parents here? I mean, come on. And the voice said to me, "You don't have parents." I was like, "What do you mean? No, you don't." And it was at that moment, it made total sense. Mm-hmm. Although it didn't feel like, oh God, this is terrible, I don't have mm-hmm. parents. It just, and I mean, the truth is, I've always been a person that wasn't very related to them. Not good or bad, I just wasn't. So, and it's an interesting thing how this, like you say, how this gets amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And but it, the great thing is, I found that it's neither good nor bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's not in a judgment costume, where you have to, this is good, this is bad, mm-hmm. you're sad, that's bad, you're happy, that's good, kind of. So you're able to look at things, then you just, to look at the really, maybe like very scary things, and you're just able to, oh yeah, let's take a look.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sensational, I have to say, and now I'm just talking about it, but I mean, I'm still really impressed by this thing that happened to me, or like in this journey. And one thing is also, I think, interesting is what would you say is the difference between a psilocybin journey and an LSD journey?
I think they're more similar than they're different, although they're different classes of psychedelics. They have different profiles on your neurotransmitter system. So it's serotonin, dopamine, are slightly different than the duration, and then you have the subjective neurophenomenological effects, and people describe that in very different terms, and it's very hard to compare. It's We don't necessarily have very specific language to describe these states, simply because, you know, we're very early for integrating these tools in modern culture. Like, most of the terms that we use are actually from the 60s and that explosion of culture. Personally, acid or LSD makes me really open, incredibly sensitive. It engages, I get energy from it, but it's more, it's not a very comfortable energy necessarily. I don't necessarily like LSD that much. And psilocybin feels more spiritual. It's definitely a tryptamine. Like, if you've done different types of tryptamines, it has a certain feeling or a certain visual that's very similar. That acid is very fluid.
It's harder, I feel like.
Yeah.
In a way that you have more, like, I feel like you saw more real people and not like many spiritual situations.
Yeah, it's very hard to describe.
What you said, yeah.
I've had interesting experience on LSD, but it's not my medicine, and it's not necessarily I would recommend to a lot of people. Psilocybin is a lot more grounded, to me.
Friendlier,
you could say. Yeah.
I mean, but still, like you were talking about this earlier, one thing that I think a lot of people are interested in is that, okay, you can come to synthesis as, let's say, a person who's not suffering from depression and who is not on antidepressants. But still, there are a lot of people who are actually, even if they don't take antidepressants, they might suffer from a depression. So,
yeah.
I mean, how do you see the development for people like that who actually would like to try other tools to get rid of their depression?
Yeah, we're working very hard to make it possible for these people to come. So at this point in time, unfortunately, we have to reject about 40% of all people that apply. And that has multiple reasons. One is that we don't want to give false hope. Second is that we want to make sure it's absolutely safe for them as well. Not just during the experience, but after the experience as well. And it's not uncommon if you are carrying more significant and deeper wounds that you need more support. And it might be more challenging to have an experience. And so we are training our staff right now and bringing on very experienced psychiatrists to build these models. And we believe we can start accepting people on SSRIs in a few months' time.
Oh, wow.
And this is one of the biggest reasons why we reject people. It's also the biggest need. It's significantly oversubscribed, and these people have no place to go. And we believe we can start helping them very, very soon.
So also because you work with the Imperial College, right, in London, with Robin Card-Harris?
Yes.
And how does that actually work? How do you work with them? Like, you exchange studies or...
We talk a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they find that our setting is very interesting. Like, the volume of people that we're getting is beyond any study. And in return, we open up our doors. We give them a lot of access to explore what is actually going on with people in a more natural setting, like synthesis. And their insights they share with us again, and that's how we improve our programs and our offerings and our education. And it's a very amazing collaboration because from what I can tell, they're one of the most advanced groups of people that understand not just the way psilocybin affects the brain, but also what does it mean for a person subjectively, and how do you guide people, for example, someone with more anxiety or someone with an eating disorder? Like, what is different in these people? What do they need? And so that's incredibly helpful for us to to actually offer something that we know works and we know is safe.
Well, that's going to be soon then, in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I'm wondering is, I mean, last night, for example, like Brad Pitt won the Oscar, and he was talking in this one interview, like how he's microdosing, or at least that he's interested in these things, with Paul Stamets, I think, the mushroom specialist in America. So, and the weird thing is, like, I feel, I mean, he's basically maybe not a lot talking about it, and the Gwyneth Paltrow show is on. I mean, do you think that people from, let's say, the celebrity world, or like, if you want to call it like that, are coming forward with this? Do you think this is helping the thing?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's clear that most people's conception of what a psychedelic is and what it does is completely wrong.
Yeah.
There, after the 60s, there was a huge barrage of propaganda and misinformation, and it's not uncommon to hear that it's very dangerous, it has no medicinal benefit whatsoever, you can go crazy, it's addictive. None of that is true at all. And for people in the public space to come out and say, I do this, it helps me, I think is an incredible positive thing, because it can help so many people and they don't even know it exists, or they maybe know that it exists, and it's demonized. And I think that's a huge travesty, because so many people could be helped by it. And it's my belief that, like caffeine, like alcohol, like opium is now, you know, it's so common, like painkillers and etc. And psychedelics will also be part of a very normalized way of humans changing their consciousness for different benefits. It's gonna happen. And it's gonna happen in our lifetime.
It's interesting that I thought of Cary Grant when I saw Brad Pitt yesterday, how he's kind of the first famous kind of celebrity that back then like started psychedelic therapy and actually got rid of his very hardcore trauma through his childhood. I didn't know he came as a 10-year-old with a traveling circus to America, because his parents basically kind of, his mother was in a mental hospital and his father, I think, abandoned him. So, and then he said, like, in one quote, I think, everybody wants to be Cary Grant. Even I want to be Cary Grant. So, and there's this movie from his son, Becoming Cary Grant. So, and I thought yesterday, for some reason, okay, if Brad Pitt really has microdosed and now it feels like he's becoming Brad Pitt. So I thought this movie, this last Tarantino movie, has such a different authenticity that makes him like a totally different person. I mean, of course, you can't really talk to him because the publicists won't allow that, but it would be very interesting to kind of follow his path through his crisis and then coming out of this in a very, as a microdosing person. Yeah. I think you feel it. I mean, when you see him, my perception.
You hear the story often, like psychedelics, they help you break free from the old mold of conditioning, and they can help you with your business plan. They can help you with reframing your relationship with yourself and suddenly take way better care of yourself, make it less of a problem to be authentic, to be real with people. And that seems to me a very net positive. And that's what we see here every weekend.
Famous last words. Perfect. Thank you so much. That was super interesting. Thanks for
welcome. My pleasure.